8. John chapter 8. I looked out and Amy gave me the sign to let me know that it was hot. And that sign is, she sticks her tongue. And I look over and Ashton's over there fanning. I wasn't hot till we did that one song. And then I worked up a sweat on it. But anyhow, no, it's warm. I normally don't pay any attention. I get hot anyhow. I get hot no matter what. I'm hot natured. And I've got this suit on. And so I've got more lights up here. I go by you all. Whenever I see you all doing this, I know that it's cold. When I see you doing this, I know it's hot. But it is a little stuffy in here. But the air is running. So we'll be okay. John chapter 8 and verse 33 tonight. We're going to read through to the end of the chapter. And I know this morning we covered more ground than what we normally cover. And really, I just did that to prove to you that I could do it. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. We covered more ground than what we normally do, but you have to understand that there were some things in it this morning that were a little bit repetitive. Some of those things Christ has already said a little bit in the previous chapters. And so since we had already kind of covered some of that, we didn't need to spend as much time on it this morning. Pardon me. Tonight, we're going to read from 33 to 59, and we'll see how far that we get here. But the Bible says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." If you know this passage, then you know what Jesus is about to say to them about their father. You know what's coming. You know what he's working up to. And it's kind of funny to go back and read this after you've already read it and you know what he's getting ready to say, because they are so clueless. You can see there, I say funny, but it's sad because of the blindness there, but they don't get this. They don't get, and here in a minute, he's going to just lower the boom on them and just tell them exactly why he keeps saying to them, "You're just like your father." Abraham's our father. No, Abraham's not your father. And then finally here in a minute, he's going to just lower it on them. did we just read 41? Let's have another vote. Let's read 41. "Ye do the deeds of your father, then say to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil." There it is. "And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Can you just kind of see it boiling in them? I mean, can you just, this is, you know, that anger is beginning to mount, and it's about to come to a head with those Jews here in just a minute, with these Pharisees. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? That was one of the dirtiest things they could call him in their minds. They hated Samaritans so much, that was about the nastiest name that they could call him, was a Samaritan. And hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Dear Father, just please help me tonight, Lord, to preach this correctly, and help us all to just be just taught, convicted, drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like father, like son. I did not, normally when I will title a message, I normally don't tell you all the title. I don't make a big deal out of titling messages. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not something that I do. Normally when I title a message, I will do it to keep my thinking on track. I will try to culminate everything into a title that I can see. I don't always share it with you, but I have titled this sermon, Like Father, Like Son. I had no intention on, you know, preaching that because today is Father's Day. That's just how it happened. But we're going to look tonight at this idea, like father, like son. There's a saying, the apple never falls far from the tree. It's easy to tell which children belong to which parents. Okay? There are a lot of ways in which you can tell that people are related. It's a lot of ways in which you can tell whose children or what children belong to who. There are a lot of different things. There are looks, there are personalities, speech, gestures, and so on. The older that my children get, the more of myself and Amy I can see in them. The older that they get, the more I hear them say things. And, you know, they'll say something like me. And all of us parents know that sometimes we like that and sometimes we don't. It keeps you on your toes and you say, boy, that's awful rude what they said. Yeah, well, he learned it from you. Oh, yeah, I guess he did. Then they'll say something and you're glad that they picked up on that. You're happy that they got that one. But they'll say things and you can hear yourself talking. They'll say things and I can, they'll say things just like me. They'll say things just like Amy. They'll do little things. The other day I was thinking about something and in my mind I was kind of thinking and I thought to myself, that sounds like something Alex would say. And then I stopped and thought, no, Alex says it because that's something I would say. He learned that from me. We watch mannerisms. Children look like their parents, some more than others. I got to share this one with you real quick. You know that we go up here to the manor, the Sycamore Manor, the assisted living place. I was preaching up there for a while, and when I stopped preaching there, we started going once a month. The boys and Linus and I, we go and play music. Okay, so we go up there and play and sing for them for about 45 minutes. And it's really the Alex and Colin show. Okay, they don't care about Linus and I. They just want to watch these boys play banjos and mandolins. They're so fascinating. You know, nothing exciting about a guitar or a bass the way that Linus and I play. But they just get all excited, you know, and you know, they're older, and so they especially like when young people come in. They really like it when young people come in, especially if they have some kind of a talent or something, but they let me bring my kids anyhow. But anyway, we go up there and we sing, all right? We go up there and we sing, and we were up there, the first Monday of this month. And afterwards, there was a woman that was sitting there, and she said, "Your oldest one looks just like you." So I walk over to Colin, and I put my arm around him, and I said, "Handsome devil, isn't she?" And she said, "No, your oldest one." And she pointed to Alex. I said, "No, he's the biggest one, not the oldest one. He's taller. He's the tallest one. He's the tallest one, but he's not the oldest one. This is the oldest one here." But she said, "He looks just like you." You know, it's funny that people say different things. Some people will say, "Colin looks just like me," and then others will say, "No, I think Alex looks just like you," because we don't always see everybody the same way. We see different features. But your children look like you. They talk like you. They have gestures, mannerisms, things that they pick up from you. If you spent much time with your fiance's family, then years later you probably saw her or his parents come out. You say, "I remember when your mom used to. I remember your dad used to do that." Okay, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That can be good. That can be bad. Okay? Let me ask you a question here tonight. As we look at what Christ is saying to these Pharisees, to these Jews, he's telling them, "You're just like your father. You're just like your dad." When I was growing up, I just share something personal here with you, just real quick. When I was growing up, I think most of you know that I grew up without a father. When my parents were divorced, when my parents were kind of halfway getting along, then my mother would have nice things to say about him. Whenever she was mad at him, she had bad things to say about him. Every time when I was growing up that I heard, "You're just like your dad," it was always bad. It was always negative. "Oh, it was always negative, always. Well, sometimes that's true. Sometimes, if you've got a rotten father or a rotten mother and you're acting just like them, then you're acting rotten too. But if you got a good father or a good mother and you're acting like them, then that means you're doing something right. Let me ask you this question, because it doesn't matter how much like your earthly parents that you are. Let me ask you this question. If you are a child of God, do you bear a family resemblance? If you are a child of God, do you bear a family resemblance? Could it be said of you that you are like your father? That you do the things that please God Almighty? That you do, that you say the things that he says in his word? That you have the attitude, you have the traits. We can't have all the traits because he's God, but are you like your father? Some people grow up and they look at their father and he's a wonderful thing to them and they want to be like him. They just want to be like him. Other people grow up and they want to be everything but what their father was. They want to be the exact opposite of what their father was. All of that aside, if you're saved, you have a heavenly father that we should want to be like. Do we bear a family resemblance? I want you to turn over. We're going to expound on some of these verses, but before we do, turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. The world might not always be able to put its finger on what's different about you. They might not always know that what's different is the fact that you're saved, that you're born again. They might not be able to put words to it, but they ought to at least know there's something different. They might not be able to name it, but they ought at least know that there's something different. Look at Acts 4 and 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They knew They knew from what these men were saying, they had to have been with Jesus. They had to have learned that from Jesus. They got that from Jesus. We are going to get him before the day is over. I'm telling you, he was up here on me. He's visited everybody. We're going to get him. All right? They knew of Peter and John. They've been with Jesus. There was something about their speech, the things they were saying, the things that they were teaching. They knew, hey, these are unlearned and ignorant men. That encourages me. That means it's okay for me to preach. Unlearned, he uses unlearned and ignorant men. They knew they've been with Jesus. There was something about what they said, how they said it. They knew that they had been with Jesus. Let me ask you, is there a family resemblance there? Go back to John, but go to 13, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. While you're turning there, let me inform you folks at home listening by way of internet that we have a phantom fly in the congregation. So if you're wondering what all this talk is about, who we're going to get before the service is over, they'll think, man, somebody not put much in the plate or something? John 13 and 35. Look what he says there in verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus said, people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. God's people love one another. God's people might not always get along with one another. We might have some problems here and there. But you have problems with your spouse from time to time, and you don't stop loving them. You have problems with your children, your grandchildren, other you don't stop loving them. It didn't say, they'll know that you're my disciples if you get along perfectly in every single thing that you do. No, we're encouraged in Philippians to be of one mind, to be of one accord. Even when there are times when we're kind of out of sorts with one another or we've got something going on that we're not agreeing on, we don't stop loving each other. Loving each other in that Christian love is what helps us to fix those things and work those things out. So do you bear a family resemblance? Can it be said of you that you're like your father? Go back to John chapter 8. And let's begin to look at some of these verses in detail. We begin here in verse 33 with a blindness of the Pharisees, a blindness of these Jews that he's speaking to. Now notice what they say to him in verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Okay, now just think about what they said for a minute. They just said, we've never been in bondage to any man. Were they unaware of Egypt? Did they not know their own history well enough to know that whole bondage in Egypt? The whole nation was in bondage in Egypt? Were they so blind that they couldn't see their present situation? What nation was currently ruling over them when this happened? Rome. Rome was ruling over them. Hey, we've never been in bondage to anybody, but when they wanted him crucified, they had to go to Pilate, a Roman governor. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Well, what do you say about that Egypt deal? What do you say about right now with Rome? You've never been in bondage. How could someone say that? How could someone be so blind? We say it all the time. We say, how could people not see that? How could they be so blind? They could not see the true meaning of Christ's words. And they were so blind. Here's what happens. Darkness blinds a person so much that they often don't see their own despair. You ever dealt with a lost person? You know they're lost. You see where their life is headed. You see where their decisions are taking them, and they just absolutely refuse to admit it. They are so blinded by the darkness that they will not see. They will not see. I was sharing with someone this past week or two. I was telling them about a family member. And this family member is in extremely poor health. Okay? And after just 2 or 3 hours of working, you know, doing just a little bit around the house, they're done for the rest of the day. They're in their 70s. They've smoked like a chimney since they were a teenager. And it is very clear, it is very apparent that that's where the problem is. It's from smoking. It's from the damage that's been done to their... And this person will say to you, whenever they talk about their health, the first thing that they'll say is, it's not the cigarettes. You don't even have to bring it up. You don't even have to say anything. They get defensive. It's not the cigarettes. I was sharing this with someone who also has a family member who's in the same boat and says the same thing. Every time they say something to them, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. You know what that is? That's blindness. That's just blindness. And oftentimes, it is what the Bible says, what the Bible calls willingly ignorant. That they could see. They could come out of that blindness if they wanted to. The truth has been labeled. Christ is right here laying the truth out in front of them. They just don't want to see it. They want to stay in that darkness. What were we told in the very beginning of this book? That men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Well, they just don't know. Hey, there's a lot of people that don't know and haven't heard. What it boils down to is what Jesus said, that whenever the light comes, they don't walk into the light. They don't come to Jesus Christ because they don't want to. That's what John chapter 1 tells us. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I know you've heard me say it before. Let me say it again this evening. I've never been in these places, but I know dens of iniquity, they used to be called, bars. By the way, what's the difference between a bar, a tavern, and a saloon? Nothing, right? Well, a tavern back in the 1800s, you could rent a room, I think. Bars, taverns, saloons, dance clubs, casinos. I have heard that casinos have no windows or clocks. I don't know if that's true. Okay? Don't anybody nod your head yes or no, because then I'm going to want to talk to you afterwards. Okay? I have heard that casinos have no windows or clocks because they want you to lose track of how long you've been in there. That could be true because that makes sense. You get to pull in that slot. You get to roll in those dice. They want you to lose track. You know how easy it is for you to lose track of time when you're on the internet, when you're watching television, when you're, you know, fishing, when you're doing anything? It's easy to lose track of time. Why are these places kept dark? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. These Pharisees, they knew what the word said. They knew what the prophecies were. Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a man sent from God." It was all right there. It was plain who he was. But look, when a man just doesn't want to see it, he's just not going to see it. So when you witness to people and you make it so, well, you don't make it clear. It's clear already. The Bible is just plain and clear, and you show them, here's what God says about man. We're lost. We need to be saved. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You lay all this out, and they can't deny it. It's just their choice. I'm either going to listen to that or I'm going to keep my eyes closed and stay in the darkness. And how could you be in bondage to Egypt and Rome and then say, we were never in bondage to any man? Well, you know what that is? Let me translate that to 2018. That is, who you calling a sinner? I ain't so bad. What do you mean? I'm not as bad as other people. What do you mean? God loves everybody. God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's what that is. Well, what do you mean? Who are you calling a sinner? What do you mean lost? What do you mean hell? That's what that is. We've never been in bondage. You're in bondage right now when you say that. Rome has control over you right now. You've got to go to Pilate before you could crucify Christ and get his permission. He's got to turn Christ over to you. You can't just do whatever you want. You're in bondage. That's what the darkness of sin, the blindness of sin does to people. Now look, in verses 34 through 38, Jesus further exposes their condition. And church, as we go through and read this, I think there are two things tonight that we want to learn. And the first one is we need to bear a family resemblance. We need to be like our Father. And the second thing that we need to learn is this. What we see going on with people in Scripture is still going on today. This stuff that Christ comes up against with these Pharisees, with these scribes and all them, you're going to come up against it when you witness to people nowadays. The same kind of blindness, the same kind of condition. So what do? Well, we don't try to get cute. We don't try to get fancy. We don't change the word. We don't try to come up with new ways to get them interested. What do? We do what Jesus did. And we keep telling them how to be saved. We keep telling them the gospel. It's the only thing that's ever worked. Amy and I were talking about this last couple of days. And I forget exactly how we got on it. And I don't remember. Well, we were talking about some of the things that I had mentioned last week about like contemporary services and traditional services, and how all the contemporary thing is to make carnal people feel comfortable in their, you know. We were talking about something along those lines, not that specifically, but something along those lines, and we were talking about you know, preachers who refuse to preach against sin and refuse to just preach the Bible the way it is, and all that they're doing is create an environment where lost people and carnal Christians can be comfortable. And then one day those lost people are going to wake up in the most uncomfortable of positions, and that is in hell. Let's make them comfortable here so we can fill the pews and get the bills paid. But tomorrow they may wake up in hell. Let's make the carnal Christians who don't want to serve God and just want to be straddle the fence, let's make them comfortable, and then they're going to have to stand before God tomorrow. If they leave this world today, tonight, in the morning, they're going to have to stand before God and answer for a life that was wasted that could have been lived for Him. Or a pastor, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, a neighbor, a parent, a school teacher, or they can expose that person to a little bit of uncomfort, a little bit of pain right here, and say, hey, you know what? I know you don't like it, but this is what the Bible says. You got to hear this. I know it hurts, but this is what the Bible says about all of us. We got to hear this. And risk them being a little uncomfortable so that we don't risk them spending eternity in hell, because then it'll be too late. Jesus exposes the condition of their hearts. He says in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You might have been born of Abraham, but you are not like Abraham. We're going to see that in just a minute. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So he's just exposing their condition. What is it? You're lost. You need to be saved. You're lost. You're in need of salvation. They boast of Abraham in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. They boasted of that. Their lineage was important to them. They were Jews in the flesh. But Christ pointed out to them that they were servants of the devil in their hearts. Oh, you might have come from that family. Listen, I'm thankful that the family that you come from doesn't have to set the course for the rest of your life. Maybe you had a wonderful family, but what if you didn't have a wonderful family? Aren't you glad that that doesn't have to dictate the way the rest of your life turns out? What if you were the first one that had any sense? What if you're the first one that amounted to anything? Aren't you glad that it doesn't have to be that? We understand. And we are not surprised when we see certain people go down certain paths, because like we said earlier, we say that's exactly what his daddy did. Exactly what his granddaddy did. That's all that kid's ever known. That's all that kid's ever been taught. We understand that that happens, but aren't you glad that you can make a choice? Aren't you glad you don't have to go down that path? Aren't you glad you don't have to go down that road? I do not stand before you and claim to be a man who has no faults and a man who has never sinned and a man who doesn't have his struggles. But I tell you this. All of us have different struggles sometimes. Something that might be a struggle for me might not be a struggle for you, and then vice versa. I might say, you know what, I have a struggle with this, and you say, I never had that. Then you might say, here's what I've had trouble with, and I say, I don't get that. Okay? I want to say that before I say this. I do not say this boasting. I think you know that. I was never tempted to do drugs and drink alcohol and do a thing. That was not my temptation. This doesn't mean I didn't have others. That one wasn't mine. For some people, it is. I don't say that boastingly. I've heard preachers that get up and say, well, you know, and it's this self-righteous kind of a thing. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is this. I didn't have that, but I had multiple family members who did. I have multiple family members who did. I lost my oldest brother to that lifestyle and almost lost my second oldest brother to that lifestyle. I've seen marriages in my family destroyed because of that kind of living. Okay? That's one of the reasons I'm thankful that you don't have to go down the road that the people in your family go down. But here's the thing. Just because so many of my family went down that road didn't mean I was destined to, but I had to make the choice just like they did. They had to make the choice to go down that road. I had to make it not to go down that road. But then we could also say the trials that I have had, the troubles I have had, the temptations and the problems and the faults that I have, those were my choice as well. It comes down to us. Well, look, they're nothing special because they're of Abraham's seed. They're special in that they're the chosen people. And as Paul said, God gave them the word. He preserved the word through them. But as far as spiritually and salvation, you don't gain anything by being a Jew. Romans chapter 2. Turn with me there real quick. Romans chapter 2. We may not get this one done tonight. That's all right. It felt kind of weird getting all that done this morning. This would throw my whole week off if I got two of them in a row like this. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's what Christ is telling them. Yeah, you're born of Abraham, but you're not like him at all. You might have on a piece of paper, you might have on that birth certificate, who your parents are. Well, that doesn't automatically make you like them. You've got to make your choices. They're going to rub off of you in some ways, but it comes down to your path of life. You're going to have to make those choices. They were born of Abraham. What did that mean? They weren't Jews in the spirit, in the heart, only outward. Only outward. You know, As I think about that, I can't help but think about adoption. I can't help but think about how a couple will adopt a child. And did you know that legally, when adoption is so binding that when you adopt a child, that child, the moment that that is legalized, that that child receives every single benefit and consideration that a natural-born child does. That as far as the law is concerned, that child is no different than a child that you brought into this world. When a person adopts a child, as far as the law is concerned, the law then sees that child the same way. There's no point in which the law says, well, this doesn't apply to them because they're adopted. Once that adoption's final, it's in the eyes of the law, it's just like you gave birth to that child. Now that ought to excite you. Because not only is it like that with our law here, it's like that with our Father. When He adopts us, when He brings us into His family, that's it. It's done. The Bible says that we're joint heirs with Jesus. It doesn't matter who we were born. It doesn't matter what family we came from. It doesn't matter what path we had taken. If we would trust in Jesus Christ, then we're made His. We are made the children of God. Christ becomes our brother. We are joint heirs with Him. These Jews were not so. Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Boy, they boasted of Abraham. Have you ever known somebody who made a big deal out of their name? You ever known somebody that made a big deal out of their name and there was no reason to? I can't make a big deal out of my name growing up not knowing my father. I don't know hardly anything about Utley's. And you already know what I found out when I came over here. Somebody asked me today. I had to get some brake pads. Got to put some brake pads on the Jeep tomorrow, so I stopped and got them before church and went in. By the way, today, guys, have you heard this? Today I bought organic brake pads. What in the world is an organic brake pad? I can't wait till Denny gets back to ask him, because that's what they make down there is brake pads. What is on? I'm afraid I'm going to get home and it's just like dirt all packed together, you know, petrified dirt or something. I don't know. They were really close in price to the rest of them and had the same warranty, so I bought them. I told the girl behind the counter, I said, sounds like they ought to be made out of soybeans or something. But anyhow, they put your name in the computer, you know, when you buy about anything nowadays. And she asked for my name and phone number, and she put me in the system. I hadn't been to that store yet. And then she said, are you any relation to Tanner Utley? No. She said, oh, he's somebody I know. He's from Brownsburg. I don't know. Maybe down the line somewhere we could be. I don't know. I can't boast of an earthly name. I don't know anything about. You know, around here, the Utley name is going to be whatever my family makes it, because, you know, I don't know my dad or his family, and they're not from around here. And so some people really boast of that, their name, though. Their last name really means something. They really boast about it. And then some people boast about it, and there's nothing to boast about. And then some people are like me, and say, I don't know. They're boasting of Abraham, but they're not like him. Who did Paul said he would boast in? Jesus Christ. I can boast in Him. I can boast in Him. They couldn't. Now look at verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You know what he's saying when he says this did not Abraham? He said, Abraham didn't act like that. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham didn't have that attitude. You're not like your father at all in the flesh. They are like their spiritual father, though, as he begins to point out. The proof, look in verse, let's go down to 44, where he tells them, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Which one of us hasn't looked at the world? Which one of us hasn't looked around at society and the things going on and said, what is going on? I mean, the things that we hear about every day, the kind of stuff, the horrendous actions and the sin and what is going on? See, all the world just turned upside down. What's happening? Why are people like this? What's happening is we're looking at a bunch of people who are just acting like their daddy. We're just looking at a bunch of lost people acting like their father, who is the devil. Their God is the God of this world. They're just doing what sinners do. And let me say this real quick. God's not surprised. And we ought not be surprised when sinners act like sinners. We ought to be surprised when saved people act like sinners. When saved people act like the world. When saved people act like their God is the God of this world. I told you, I mentioned in Sunday school, I don't know if I mentioned that this morning, but Amy and the kids got me some ducks because I can't eat chicken eggs, but I can eat duck eggs. And I used to get my duck eggs from Angie Streaker, or Dodson, sorry, and she got rid of her ducks because one of them killed one of her chickens. No more duck eggs for Pastor. You know what happened? I lost my supplier. She got rid of those ducks. My duck eggs were gone. Well, I really like eggs, but I can't eat them. But I can eat duck eggs. They got me some ducks. Am I surprised to go out there and to hear them making duck sounds? Am I surprised to see them walking around acting like ducks? Well, if one of them opened its beak and I heard, then I'd be surprised. If one of them started acting like a dog or acting like a cat, then I would be surprised. But we're not surprised when this animal acts like that, because that's what it is. We're not surprised when boys act like boys. That's what they are. Girls act like girls. That's what they are. Let me say that again. Boys act like boys because that's what they are. Girls act like girls because that's what they are. Anything else is not natural. Anything else is not right. That's when we're surprised. What's that boy doing acting like a girl? What's that girl doing acting like a boy? That isn't right. We are surprised when we see things that are out of line. But when we see the world acting like the devil, that's their father. That's who they learn from. And this is what Christ is saying to them. That they are of the devil. We won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, if you want to mark Matthew 17, 15 through 20, that's where Jesus said that by their fruits ye shall know them. Boy, yeah, just you act like your dad more every day. Yeah. Why do people, you've heard me say this, I know, but it fits here. Why do people just act like animals nowadays? Well, how many years have we been teaching them in the school system that they are animals? Teach them for years that they're animals and then be surprised when they go out and act like animals. Hey, they're just acting out what you've told them. Look at verse 47. Just point out a few more things here and we'll be done. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. I mentioned this morning. Somebody professes to be a Christian. You talk to them about the word, and they don't have any idea what you're talking about. Hey, what's wrong here? What's wrong? Why is that so foreign to you? Why does that not make any sense to you? They don't know it. And then we see their anger increasing. And you'll see this too as you witness to people. And you just tell them what the word says, and they're convicted of sin. And you'll see sometimes they'll get angry. They'll get angry because you're pointing out the truth. Well, you're not. The Word is. You're just telling them what the Bible says. You didn't write it. And I want you to look at one of the responses. I'm telling you, I have seen this over and over and over again, and you probably have too. The people who are the most wrong and have the weakest arguments will do what? Verse 48. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? They start name calling. People who are the most angry and the most wrong and have the weakest argument and don't have a leg to stand on, nothing else to do, I better start calling you names. Rather than look inward and see if what you're saying is right, I'm going to start calling you names. Jesus answers them. He answers them. And in verse 49, he says, but I honor my father. So I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. What does that mean, to keep his saying? Well, it's not talking about a perpetual. When you keep somebody's saying, it means you believe it. You tell me something and I keep your saying, that means I believe what you're saying. We believe on him. And said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. So he's saying, hey, you said God was your Father, then you ought to know me. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Wow. But I know him and keep his saying. Now, once you go down to verse 58, and just let me say this. There are people who are writing books, making videos and making movies and preaching what they call sermons, in which they're trying to tell people that Jesus never claimed to be God, and so the Jews cannot be held responsible for putting him to death because they didn't know he was God. He never claimed to be God. They've never read the Bible. They've never read the Bible. The entire book of John is based on Jesus, the Son of God, the fact that he is his deity. Now look, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Why didn't he say before Abraham was, I was? Well, two reasons. I am is one of God's names. I am. And Christ has existed forever. He didn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. That makes him God. And as soon as he said, I am, they knew exactly what he was saying. They knew exactly what he was saying, that he was claiming to be God himself, and he is. Why would a little phrase like that make them, in verse 59, pick up stones and want to kill him? The only logical explanation is they knew exactly what he meant when he said that. He was claiming to be God, and they knew that, and they didn't believe him, and they hated him for it, and they were going to stone him. Let me close by saying this, or asking this question once again. Who is your Father? Not in the flesh. Who is your spiritual Father? You're going to have one of two. And whoever it is, that's your decision. You have no choice in your earthly parents. You have no choice. You have a choice in who your spiritual parents are, your spiritual father. It's going to be God or it's going to be the devil. Well, by nature, it's the devil. You have a choice to change that. If you have changed that, if you are saved, let me ask you this. Again, do you bear a family resemblance? Jesus pointed out to these Pharisees, you act just like your daddy, the devil. You're doing exactly what he did. Okay? Could it be said of us, you're acting just like your father. You're doing those things which please God. Who do we resemble? Who do we resemble? It wouldn't make any sense. Wouldn't it be odd if your children acted like somebody else and didn't act like you and your spouse when you're the ones raising them? That wouldn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense for God's people to be acting like they've got some other father. Do you resemble your father? Do you bear that family resemblance? If God convicts you tonight in your heart, hey, right here's an area where you don't look much like me. Here's an area where you don't look like me. Here's an area where you definitely don't look like me. Thank him for that conviction and deal with it. And get it changed and get it right with him. And start anew so that people can say, you look just like your dad. I want to look like my dad. My heavenly father. I told you I do, you know, never really had an earthly father. That's okay. My heavenly Father more than makes up for what I missed out on. I want to be like Him, my heavenly Father. Let's pray and have a hymn of invitation. I know we went a little bit long tonight, but there really wasn't a good cutoff point there. Sometimes you can cut it off and then make a whole nother sermon. That wasn't going to happen tonight. But that's okay, because as hungry as we are, we don't have to endure the drive home. The food is right here. So let's pray, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation, and then we'll dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this evening. And God, I just pray that You would help us to be changed by it. We'd be stirred by it. You would make us that You'd have us to be. You would convict us, and You'd show us where we're wrong. Show us where we are not being obedient. Show us where we don't resemble You, Lord. And help us to get in line and get these things fixed and be obedient to Scripture and begin to resemble You once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. What is our 306? All right, let's sing the first and the last. 306, Pass Me Not.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by.
On the last.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside Thee?
Amen.
Whom in heaven but Thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Brother John Haas, will you dismiss us in prayer and pray for the meal downstairs, please?